From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Todd Bookman, in for Mike and Scott. With its dramatic mountain peaks, crystal clear rivers, and sunny skies, it's hard to imagine being depressed in a place like Aspen, Colorado. But a surprising number of residents of this opulent ski resort struggle with mental health and suicide. And it's not just Aspen. Resort towns across the western U.S. face high suicide rates, too. Marcy Krivenin looks into how these communities are trying to reverse this disturbing trend.
Kim Bayarjan keeps her son Raymond Vieira close. She digs into her purse and pulls out his well-used driver's license. It's bent, and the edges are cracked.
But I keep it because it's his personality. He used to use it when he locked himself out of the house. It's him.
It's a memento Bayarjan holds dear. 2 years ago, Raymond committed suicide. He was 23.
When the knock came on the door and I opened it, and there was a sheriff and another person who identified as a coroner to me, and they handed me Raymond's license and said, "This is your son." 6'1", 200-pound, green-eyed, beautiful boy. It's not even expired yet.
Bayarjan is now part of a support group for people with loved ones who have taken their lives. They're meeting tonight.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Lise.
Nice to meet you.
Warner.
Warner?
Yeah,
Warner. Nice
you
to
really
meet
have
you.
To pucker to say that. Yes,
Lise.
Hi, how are you?
The group, called Lifeline, meets at coffee shops, in homes, and sometimes at difficult scenes where someone has taken their life. They use their personal experience to help families in the Aspen, Colorado area impacted by suicide. Lise Cohen lost her husband to suicide 13 years ago.
It just is very helpful to just have a group of people who come in who have walked the path and sort of know what could potentially be coming up.
The group's been busy. In the last 4 weeks, there have been 3 suicides. That's a big number for Aspen and its bedroom communities, where about 25,000 people live. Members talk about who needs help and pass around a program from a recent funeral. There are tears, hugs, and long pauses. Sadly, and surprisingly, suicide is just part of life here.
I think people look at the beauty here and wonder, how could anyone ever kill themselves? It's so beautiful.
Michelle Muthing directs the Aspen Hope Center. It provides a 24-hour crisis hotline, and its clinicians are often called to the scene of a suicide to provide on-site counseling. Sure, there's world-class skiing and 5 wilderness areas. People hike, fish, bike, and ski. But Muthing says while the natural beauty may initially draw people here, reality eventually sets in. Just like the peaks they climb, the cost of living in Aspen is sky high, and that puts financial pressure on locals.
Many people come out here for the beauty. They'll say, "I vacationed here as a child and I wanted to move back." So their recollection of a vacation is very different than an adult who has to have a home, work to pay a mortgage or rent, maybe have several jobs to keep afloat.
Substance abuse is another problem. Pitkin County, home to Aspen, has higher rates of binge and chronic drinking than the state and national averages.
When you're finished skiing for the day, you sit slopeside, you have a meal, you have a drink, and then you proceed to continue your evening into dinner, recreation, bars, so on and so forth. So it's very much a party mentality.
We're not just talking about drinking. Aspen's rate of illicit drug use is much higher, according to a state health report. Muthing says partying is part of ski town culture, and that can lead to addiction and a downward spiral. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention reports, on average, someone dies by suicide every 8 hours in Colorado. The top 8 states for the highest number of suicides are in the western U.S. and Alaska. Sarah Brummett with Colorado's Office of Suicide Prevention says the cowboy culture and tough guy mentality in the West can be problematic.
About pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, not showing weakness. There's the real stigma about asking for help or letting someone know that you might be struggling. And that creates a real barrier to people getting help.
Rural parts of the state, like Aspen, often lack mental health services. Colorado is trying to help, spending $500,000 in state money each year on programs to get the suicide rate down. One has gun shop owners displaying gun safety messaging in their stores. Posters suggest gun owners consider off-site storage if a loved one is suicidal. The goal of the programs is to lower the suicide rate 20% by 2024. Aspen isn't alone in this challenge. The resort town Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and its surrounding communities also face a high suicide rate. It's home to a world-class ski area and about an hour from Yellowstone National Park. It's where Adam Williamson does crisis counseling.
We went through a string of suicides. We had around 12 deaths in 20 months, which is a lot for, you know, a small community that we are in.
Williamson and other mental health professionals formed the Teton Valley Mental Health Coalition to identify gaps in local services. They launched ad campaigns, started a suicide survivor support group, and began offering subsidized counseling. The group is tracking data to see if the number of suicides goes down.
We've got a pretty good group of people that are concerned and a good group of people that are working on it. And I think it's just an issue everywhere. It's a problem everywhere.
Recently, though, Williamson says there has been a marked increase in the number of middle-aged men taking their lives in the area. Back at the meeting of the Lifeline group near Aspen, Warner Knorr is sharing his personal story of loss.
I'm still unwilling to go to one-on-one therapy or group therapy. I don't think it is for everyone. I consider this group therapy, by the way.
His son Eric took his life at age 49. It happened 2 years ago this month. His story is eerily reminiscent of Kim Byers-Jean's.
I'll never forget, the doorbell rang and there was a sheriff at the door, a tall, imposing man with gray hair, who came in and said, I have some very bad news.
Knorr says he still asks himself what he could have done to prevent his son's death. He has photographs of Eric up in his house.
I don't want to forget. And I know the wound will heal. Time's the big healer. The scar will never go away.
Byers-Jean agrees. She tattooed her son Raymond's name on her ankle and has another tattoo on her wrist to remember him. It's a semicolon.
When you complete a sentence or you complete a story, you end it with a period. If the story's going to keep on going, you put a semicolon. And that's what this is about. My story isn't going to end, and I'm not going to let Raymond's story end either.
She's working with her church to reach young adults, like her only son, ski resort workers. Many are in their 20s and arrive in town at the beginning of the season with no friends and family nearby. She wants to connect them to the community, an effort inspired by Raymond's death and a way to keep his memory alive. For The Pulse, I'm Marcy Krivenin.